In this episode, we're talking all things wellness and entrepreneurship with the leader of one of the country's fastest growing wellness lifestyle companies. Inspiration guaranteed. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Think Outside the Lines podcast. Practical solutions and ideas for designing the life you want with an added dose of inspiration. Here's your host, Sean Feeney.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Think Outside the Lines podcast. My mission with this show is simple. I want to help you improve your life. In each episode, I talk to people who are designing the lives of their dreams. I believe that if they can do it, so can you. And these conversations are meant to inspire you to take action and to pursue the life you've always wanted to live. I'm Sean, and you can find me over at thinkoutsidethelines.com, where we explore these ideas further. My guest today is the visionary behind Beaming, a lifestyle brand on a mission to inspire vibrant wellness in people of all ages. Recently chosen as one of MindBodyGreen's 100 Women to Watch in Wellness, she's dedicated to sharing the power of plant-based food in a way that truly changes lives and supports healthy families and communities. Her combined passion for food and wellness drove the creation of Beaming Organic Superfood Cafes, unique settings for experiencing the abundant benefits of clean eating. An entrepreneur at heart, she embraces a leadership role in nurturing one of the country's fastest-growing wellness lifestyle companies. We had such an amazing conversation, and I'm confident that you will find her journey and her mission inspiring. It's time to Think Outside the Lines with Lisa Odenweller. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm drinking my turmeric tea.
Awesome. Me too. My ginger tea.
Actually, I have turmeric ginger lemon. So, you know, we're on the same path.
Oh my God. We're probably going to talk about the benefits of all those things at some point. Give me three words to best describe yourself.
Passionate, tenacious, and lighthearted.
What is your greatest desire in life at the moment?
My greatest desire in life at the moment is to continue to bring more light in my life and to continue to kind of live with that just compassionate, open-hearted lightness. That brings more love and flow in life. Hope that answers the question, but that seems to be my focus right now, and it seems to be really serving me well.
Yeah, I love that so much, actually. That's literally the whole focus of my podcast, so good answer.
Well, you teed me up well.
Okay. All right, so I'd like to ask all entrepreneurs this question. Do you have a morning routine, and if so, can you tell us about it?
So I'm laughing because there's that moment where you want to like share that you have it all figured out and you have this perfect routine, right? That you wake up and you meditate and then you have your turmeric and, you know, lemon and ginger. And in some ways that's true, but not necessarily in a perfect flow. You know, I live in two cities, LA and San Diego. I have three children. I'm a single mom. I travel a lot. I juggle a lot of different things. And so my ability to create, quote, routine is very, very challenging. What I do commit myself to every morning is at some point to meditate. It may not happen first thing in the morning, but it does happen in the morning. I happen to, I've got that squirrel brain, kind of that racy brain like many of us. And so I find that the Oprah Deepak meditations really help ground me. So those are ones that for those of us who struggle with meditation, I find those kind of helped getting me focused and calm. And when I do commit to those, it's just, you know, I'm always thrilled that I took the time to do so. I exercise every morning, and I probably start my morning before my turmeric with a matcha latte. Followed by either a run or a spin class or a hike or a sculpt class or yoga. And then I usually have a turmeric tea. So somewhere in there, those are the pieces that kind of fit into every morning.
Love it. This is the second time you've actually mentioned the turmeric tea. Do you, like, I have turmeric that I add to food sometimes. Is that what, yeah. Is it like a tea bag with turmeric, or is it, do you actually like, the turmeric in the tea?
I always say if I was stranded on an island and I could only pick one superfood, what would it be? And I always say turmeric. And the reason being is because it just has such incredible anti-inflammatory, anti-aging, anti-disease, you know, properties to it. So the way I drink it is cold pressed, because at Beaming we actually make these little turmeric shots called vitality shots, and they have cold pressed.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Don't worry.
Yeah. So we that's what I drink, and I drink a lot of them a day, of turmeric, ginger, and lemon.
So how many of those vitality shots do you drink a day?
At least two.
Do you really? Okay. So I have to tell you, and this is like, I'm going to digress for a second because I have more questions in this vein, but I discovered you. I discovered Beaming actually earlier this year. I have a friend who I was not feeling well. It was like right after the first, and I had just launched my podcast and I needed to have like a lot of energy in my life, and I was starting to feel sick. And he's like, I don't care what you're doing. You need to drop whatever you're doing today. Go over to Beaming. And you need to get the vitality shot and the cold buster and then whatever juice you want.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I literally like dropped what I was doing, went over there. The vitality shot was, it's one of the best things I've ever tasted.
Right.
The cold buster, also one of the best things I've ever tasted.
That's super cute. Well, just my one little tip with that is my favorite way to have the vitality shot, the turmeric drink, is to pour it into warm water in the morning and it, or even in the evening. And it is so calming. It's just, as opposed to when it's so strong and potent.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm glad that you have, you found good health and vitality in having those.
Absolutely. It's actually crazy because I would never think to either dilute it or to have it warm. It tastes so good. That's what I love about actually all your stuff. It tastes so good, like right out of the bottle.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what we certainly hope to, we strive for that.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously to say that I'm a fan of what you've done with your brand would be an understatement. I'd love if you could start off by telling us a bit about your background and kind of go into what you believe to be the message that you were brought here to share with the world.
Great question. Thank you. You know, my background is a little bit all over the map. I started my career, actually, funny enough, with Nestle out of college, and was selling chili and cheese sauce and country sausage gravy and all sorts of really unhealthy things, which I think is just ironic for where I've ended up. And not because I ate those things, but that was the job out of college that kind of got me off and running. But what I have found in each of the different careers that I've had, whether I worked in the software industry in sales or business development, or started my own company's interior design, I've had a jewelry company, I've done lots of different things. But each of the different things I have done were really, my passion was driven around, you know, the entrepreneurial side, how to do things a little bit differently and creatively. And so whether I was working for a big company like Nestle or a big company like Oracle, I was always in a niche within those big companies, creating and doing things a little bit different. That was that entrepreneur spirit that has just been in me since, I think, maybe perhaps since I was born. After leaving corporate America, my husband and I at the time, he and I moved to San Diego to have more children and to slow me down. And what we quickly realized is that I was not slow down a bull. And we moved here, and I immediately started a window coverings and interior design business that became very successful. And that was really for me about just being creative and, you know, how to make the most amount of money with the least amount of time so I could be available for my children, but also be creative and help people. And everything that I've done has always been around, you know, how to help and how to serve. So to answer your question about my greater mission and message in the world, I'm very, very passionate about inspiring and changing lives. And thus, for me, Beaming is really about helping people really have more light in their lives. And food is a piece of that, and it's also much bigger than that. And so I have a very, very, very big mission around Beaming in using that word itself, Beaming, you know, is very powerful. And
absolutely.
It, for me, it wasn't about juice and it wasn't about smoothies. It was really about just becoming more connected with ourselves and how do we live a more beaming life. And that was the platform I chose to share, to then share a bigger message.
That's amazing. And I want to dive into some of the entrepreneurship in just a moment. But I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about Beaming, because that's how I discovered you. But also, again, I remember the first time that I walked into the store that I went into, and it felt, I would go so far as to call you like the Apple of juice cafes, just because I hadn't experienced the second I walked in the door. And it felt like the marketing, the branding was on point. Like everything, the presentation, like the customer service, everything that I experienced when I walked. And again, I was just going in there to get a juice, right? I wasn't looking to have some sort of transformational experience, but it was. And it's kept me going back.
So, I love you for that. That means a lot. So thank you. And that's, you know, that's my goal. And it's one of those things where it is about the experience. You know, I never wanted to be in the juice business.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it is about an experience. It's about helping people on their health journey, on their, you know, journey to experience greater vitality. And that comes in the form of juice and smoothies and healthy eating, but also hopefully, you know, in that how we interact with you and how we invite you in and making sure it's very inviting. And it's something that's not just for the person who already knows they want a green juice, but that people who are maybe just starting their health journey feel comfortable that they're welcome and that they can, that there's something for them that's not intimidating. And so I really appreciate what you said. And when I started this, I guess my first location opened 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago now, it feels a lot longer than that. It was for me, you know, how do I reach a greater audience and speak to the whole family? And, again, not just the person that already gets it.
Totally. There's another location that I have gone to on occasion. I won't say the name of the business, but it feels kind of dingy inside. And I always equate, it's like, I feel like I'm walking into someone's garage to order a juice. And yours, I feel like I've just walked into like someone's gorgeous kitchen in their amazing home. What inspired you to approach the brand that way?
Well, I did have the advantage of being an interior designer.
There you go. That makes sense.
But, you know, I've always, I'll go back to the word beaming. I mean, I'm very, very sensitive to and connected to and inspired by energy. So, you know, how all of those design aesthetics came together and just the energy of a space, right? The energy of the food, the energy of the interaction was part of that whole story. And it's a constant practice and a constant evolution. And I hope that we continue to elevate that experience. But yeah, to just serve juice for me was not why I did this.
For sure. Let's talk about the philosophy behind beaming, because you have this great manifesto on your website, which I think is amazing. Why do you think that that philosophy is so critical to your success?
I think that for everybody's on their own journey and they're kind of on their own path. And one of the things that is, for me, I think has allowed beaming to be so approachable is that we're not preaching one way. We're really kind of meeting you where you're at. And so it's not about being a vegan or being a raw foodist or having a certain philosophy. It's really being open-minded and being in tune with your body and listening to your body and being mindful of what we eat and drink and think, as Chris Carr would say. So I think that that open-mindedness has really allowed people to feel comfortable with us. And you know, the integrity of what we do, that was something that was really, really core for me. I created what I wanted. So they always say, you know, be the avatar of your business. I created what I wanted because I didn't have a place to go that I felt not only was it of the quality and integrity, but, you know, the flavor and the experience and all those other components that to me were something that was lacking, at least in my world, that I wanted to create. So I created what I wanted and assumed I wasn't alone in wanting that.
I love it. I want to talk about cleansing for a moment. I feel like it's all the rage right now. I have never done a cleanse, even though I know it will probably feel great. I feel that I read a lot of skepticism around it, and it's sometimes people say it's beneficial, others say it's not. Can you share some of your perspective on this trend and why in particular you believe in it?
Absolutely. So cleansing, I think, obviously it has that bad connotation, everything that you just said. Like, is it good for me? Is it not? So much conflicting information. I don't want to run to the bathroom. I don't want to starve myself. Trying to fit in my skinny jeans. Like, everyone has this whole thing, you know, about cleansing. And I don't really even like the word cleansing, to be honest with you. For me, in the way that we approach it at Beaming, is it's a rejuvenation. But if I were to sell it as a rejuvenation, no one would have any idea what I was talking about.
Totally.
So we use the word cleanse. But, you know, for me, it's about getting off the things that are wreaking havoc in your body, right? And those are caffeine and gluten and dairy and wheat and sugar and packaged foods and too much meat and processed foods and all that stuff that, you know, alcohol, et cetera, and really cleaning your body up and letting your body just heal. So by removing those things, obviously there are water cleanses and juice cleanses and all those things achieve that. But where I think our approach is definitely very different is that in removing those things, now how do we nourish? And by just drinking water or just drinking juice, you know, there's not a lot of nourishment. And yes, juice is good for you, but if I just, you know, address the quote juice cleansing fad phase obsession, for me, it was really lacking a bigger story. And that is, what happens after the cleanse? I mean, it's one thing to drink juice for 3 days, but then what? And how do you really look at cleansing, quote cleansing, as kind of an approach for longer term health? And so for me, and with Beaming, what I cared more is what happens after the cleanse, and let the cleanse be the awakening.
I love it.
In order to do that, you know, you need to eat. And so if I just drink juice, I don't have the tools to continue because I'm not going to just live on juice. But what if I incorporate salad and a smoothie and soup and juice and snacks and things that I actually would eat after a cleanse, and I can then become more awakened or more aware of those choices that I make, not only during but after that cleanse. So for me, it was more about how do I inspire long-term health as opposed to short-term weight loss?
So the reason I love that so much is because I am that person that if I were to do one, it's because I want to sort of reset my body, right? And I think that that's probably why 99% of people start a cleanse is because they want that reset. But to your point, I don't know what to do after. Do I just eat vegan after that? And if so, what am I supposed to eat? And so that's what I'm actually thinking about doing one of your cleanses for that reason, because they reset you, but then they give you, to your point, the tools to stay on that trajectory to, you know, continue.
Well, it's funny because on our cleanse, we actually give you a 30-page ebook on kind of how to live Beaming after your cleanse. Because again, that was such an important piece of this whole experience for me personally and for what I was hoping to share. What many people may not know is I started Beaming with the cleanse. So our signature cleanse is really how Beaming started. And I started it with this idea of what would happen if I made this delicious, beautiful food and you consumed it for 4 or 5 days, whatever it might be, would you feel so good that you, as opposed to running off and having, you know, tequila, beer, and pizza again, would you be so inspired that you'd want to continue your journey? And so I did this test market for a year in San Diego where I initially launched it. And it was so successful and transformed so many lives. I mean, thousands of lives were literally changed. And people would panic when they were coming off and saying, I don't want to stop. How do I continue to do this? And that was my goal, right? I mean, not to send people into panic, but to help people feel so good that probably, and for most of these people, they may not have never have felt that good in their whole lives. And so, you know, again, there was this awakening. And so it allowed me and lended itself to then open the first cafe so that people could have this every day.
I want to talk about inflammation for a moment. I feel like it's one of those buzzwords that you keep hearing everywhere right now.
Yeah.
But I'd love if you could break it down for those of us who are curious to know more about it. You referenced turmeric, which I know is, you know, significantly has some anti-inflammatory properties. Maybe you could elaborate on that a bit.
So inflammation, you know, is really the root of all disease. And so, inflammation is caused by what we eat, what we drink, what we think. I mean, stress causes inflammation, right? It's probably the biggest culprit of inflammation. But as it relates to food, you know, all of the sugar, wheat, dairy, gluten, alcohol, coffee, you know, packaged foods, processed foods, all of those things cause acidity in the body, which is cause inflammation in the body, which is your body saying, I don't like this. This is not making me happy. So it goes into kind of a fight or flight mode, and that's when inflammation is caused. So the goal, of course, is to minimize and reduce inflammation as much as possible. And that we can control by what we eat for the most part. And I'm going to say for the most part because there's a caveat to this, and I'll get to that. and that is by consuming more plant-based foods. And when I say plant-based, I am going to stress organic, because there are a ton of pesticides and insecticides on our fruits and vegetables. And so as much as possible, I highly encourage people to use organic, because that those pesticides and insecticides will also cause inflammation.
To digress for just a second, what can you explain to people the difference between those two? Because I think that that organic is another one of those kind of buzzwords that people hear and don't necessarily know the difference between. You said pesticides, but what else am I getting if I have something that's organic versus something that's not?
Well, in organic, I mean, you're not getting the chemicals, right? And so as much as we want to believe that, well, it's expensive and, you know, I don't want to spend the money on organic, organic is clean, right? It doesn't have all the chemicals and other things that most fruits and vegetables have. And the problem is that our body absorbs those pesticides and insecticides, right? And so it has to go somewhere, and it sends your body into a state of shock, and it's in panic, and it's trying to expel these chemicals. So, you know, the way I look at health is I can't control everything that happens to me, but for the things that I can control, I want to feel empowered, and I want to make the steps and make the choices and decisions that I can influence greater health. So if part of that is choosing organic because I know it doesn't have chemicals, then that's a choice I'm going to make, and I'll pay a little bit more money for it because my health matters. And if I take a juice, for example, I mean, juice itself, if you drink juice, there's 3 to 5 pounds of vegetables and fruit in a bottle. Well, if it's not organic, that's a lot of pesticides and insecticides in that 16-ounce glass. So people don't think about that, but I think it's a really important thing to point out in juice and making sure that your juice is definitely organic and as much as possible. And same goes for if you eat meat. I'm not a vegan, so I do have some animal protein, but I do make sure as much as I can control that it's organic and grass-fed and doesn't have nitrates or have any kind of any hormones and what have you, because that is also wreaking havoc and causing inflammation.
Yeah, and especially with like eggs and such. I was having a really interesting conversation with someone a while back that was talking about like what is a cage-free egg. That's kind of another term that you hear a lot lately. And if you think about, if you believe that, you know, energy is transferable, especially if you're going to eat something that, you know, was once alive, the idea that like that thing that you're putting in your body had a tormented life, and now you're transferring that energy into your body it's crazy to wrap your brain around that, but there's truth to that.
It's very disturbing, and it's one of those things where, you know, there are so many movies out, you know, whether it's Fed Up or Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead or Food Matters. I mean, there's so many great movies and documentaries out there that I highly encourage people who are open to learning more to watch, because when you really start to understand what's in our food, it's really scary. And there are things that we do in the United States that no other country in the world would consider doing or feeding their people. And that's where I think, you know, as far as living in the U.S. specifically, we really have to take health into our own hands, and we really have to like be more mindful and conscious of what we're putting in our body and not just assume that it's because it says organic or gluten-free or dairy-free or all natural that it's good for us, because sadly, a lot of times it's not.
Yeah. I'm so grateful that there's people like you, especially in this country, who are taking the initiative to really innovate and have that conversation, because I think, you know, to your point, it's a very important one to be having.
There's so much information out there, and there's so many thought leaders, and we're in this swirl of information that's being put out there by incredible thought leaders and you know, these integrative doctors and naturopaths and nutritionists and people that are really bringing this message to life. Mind, Body, Green. If you're not on that, if you're not following the incredible articles that they put out daily, I mean, by all means, sign up for them, because you'll learn so much. And it's just, you know, each of these little baby steps kind of awaken us to how we can live happier, healthier lives and take that and feel more empowered doing so.
Absolutely. You mentioned Chris Carr earlier. She's a cancer survivor, right? She's written lots of books about this topic.
She's amazing. And I'm glad that you brought her up, because she actually is – I named Beaming after her. And so the story that goes with that is I was at an entrepreneur event in New York. It was Marie Forleo's event, maybe 5.5 years ago. And I had
had no idea who Chris Carr was, but she took stage and this beautiful, vibrant, radiant woman starts to talk and share her story about, you know, having terminal cancer and being told she doesn't have long to live. And she's, I think she was 32 at the time, and how she really took health into her own hands and how she has, you know, healed through food as medicine. And, her story is so amazing, and the way she delivers it is so captivating. I looked at my girlfriend and I said, my God, that woman is beaming. And the whole vibration of the room was like rising with this woman's energy. And that, for me, I had no idea the power of that word when I said it, and that that would then become the name of, you know, my company. All I knew is that I was inspired and I wanted what she had. And so I read her book. And at the time, it was Crazy Sexy Diet was one of the big ones she had come out at the time. And my life changed, my health changed, my family's health changed. And that really set me forward on my journey of discovering food as medicine and wanting to learn as much as I could. And in learning what I learned, I realized I then had a responsibility to share that information with others. So Chris Carr was the catalyst behind all this, how it started. And she's how Beaming's name came to be.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that story. That's awesome. It would appear that you're heavily involved in both the business side of things and creative. I want to know, first of all, how do you balance this? But I also want to know, as a creative person, since all of this is your vision, how are you able to surrender to ideas and insight that someone else on your team might have?
So, well, okay. I am very business minded and I am also very creative. So I guess I was gifted in having both. I think people are often surprised that I'm not just a crazy visionary, but I really have a very, very strong business sense. You know, it's one thing to be creative, but it's another, how do you actually make that a viable business?
Yeah.
So I guess I could say I've been blessed with both. But in saying that, I'm also very, very aware of where my weaknesses are and making sure that I surround myself with people who know a lot more than I do in different areas, which is somewhat of a separate conversation, but a really important one for an entrepreneur to be very cognizant of. As it relates to what surrendering, I mean, surrendering is I think the big word for all of us in all aspects of our life, but certainly as an entrepreneur. And I'll admit, I'm a control freak. And, you know, I want things a certain way. And it's very, very, very difficult to let go. And I can tell you that that has been a huge challenge and opportunity for me in bringing Beaming or any business to life. And I've had to evolve with it because in the beginning I was it was very difficult for me to surrender and to, not that I wasn't open to other people's ideas, but that sometimes finding yourself resisting and fighting and not being open to the possibility of, yeah, you think it's this, but what if it's that or something greater? And to being, and really being aware of being able to just being open-minded to, the possibilities of something greater than your own vision. And as an entrepreneur, that can be really hard. But what I have learned is the more and more I embrace my team, I embrace the people around me, I'm open-minded to their thoughts, ideas, and their visions. Not only do they get more excited to participate and have more skin in the game, but it really does elevate the overall experience because it's not just about one person's vision.
Absolutely. What's one piece of business advice that's probably helped you the most?
There's a lot. One of the greatest ones right now, I think, is the gifts in adversity. And really, in all aspects of life, again, you know, we're always going to face different times of adversity. But I'm really, really learning that those times where we're challenged, things are difficult, they're not quite working out the way we want. It just kind of seems like, you know, what the heck? Why is this so hard? You know, or in, you know, times of tragedy, whatever it might be, there's always a gift. And, the times when I go back to your word, surrender, the times that I surrender and I really allow, why is this, I just can throw it out there. Like, why is this happening? And being open to the idea that it's happening for a greater reason than I may understand in that moment. And the more I surrender to that and be open, even though it's very uncomfortable, especially as an entrepreneur, because we want to know, we want certainty. But the more we let go and we allow and be open to the possibility that there's a different path or a that other experience is going to present itself, and to not constantly fight, but to really step back and constantly reflect, I think is a really important thing as an entrepreneur, because anybody who goes into being a business for themselves and has the idea that they're doing it because they want to have more freedom and time in their life and things are going to be somehow magically so much easier is really kidding themselves.
I mean, you for sure.
You have to be you have to be tenacious. You have to be resilient. You have to be creative. You have to be willing to constantly pull yourself up when things aren't going your way. And because they're not always going to go your way. And there's times when we're in flow, but there's a lot of times as an entrepreneur where you may be strapped for money. You may not know where money's going to be coming from. You're getting bad reviews, whatever it might be. Those are the opportunities to me. Those are the nuggets of gold where we really get to grow, not as individuals, but also our business. And because it's where we get to be challenged to evolve even to greater things.
Thank you so much for that answer. I have to tell you that you just summed up what I hope and pray that people take away from this show. Like, and not just this particular episode, but the whole reason that I'm doing this podcast is because of that sort of insight. Mm-hmm. That's so profound and so powerful. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I started this podcast because I wanted to challenge the idea of living the status quo. So how can those of us with this mindset work to convince the world that you don't have to conform to what you've been fed your whole life?
I love that. It's so freeing, right? When, you know, we get to choose our path, we get to create our life, and there's no one way to do it. It's just important that we do it authentically our way and that we're true to that.
Why do you think we live in a world where we're told that there's one way to do it? Because I think a lot of us believe otherwise, but if you look around, most people are on a path that was kind of established without their consent.
I think that so many of us are passengers in life, and I'm going to use this term, and it may not sit well for people, or maybe it'll wake them up, but you know, the idea that we're dead walking,
yes,
and that we're just going through the motions of life. And I think that, you know, when we realize that we're dead walking, and mind you, we all have moments when we're dead walking. I dead walked in my marriage for many, many years. And when you wake up to this incredible experience we have known as our life, and that we really are the masters of that, we get to create whatever we want. And I think that we get so just tunnel visioned or scared. I mean, fear is obviously our greatest inhibitor. It can also be our greatest asset. But I think that we let fear control us, and therefore we conform to whatever people tell us we can and can't do, or whatever life is supposed to look like. And I challenge anyone, just really, because if they're listening to your podcast, Sean, they're listening because they want to grow, they want to evolve, they're on their path to really explore great life's greatest possibilities.
Absolutely.
And so by the mere fact that they're listening to these kinds of conversations, they're on a journey to challenge that, to challenge what, you know, what maybe we were told as a little child or what we're told now. And to really celebrate the freedom that we have to really truly create what we want, as scary as that may be.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some tools and tricks that you personally use to stay inspired, on track, motivated?
You know, I always come back to why. Like, why do I do what I do? And for any of you who have listened to Simon Sinek, Start With Why, or if you haven't listened to it, I highly encourage you to Google Simon Sinek. And
I'll put it in the show notes. It's one of my favorite TED Talks of all time.
It's one of the best TED Talks ever, and his book is phenomenal. But it really is such a core of, like, why do you do what you do? Why do you wake up in the morning? Why do you show up as a mother or father? Why do you pour all this energy into whatever it is that you do every day? And when we get really clear about why, that because it also helps us to make sure that we're aligned, you know, with our own kind of authentic purpose. Yeah. When we're clear about that, that, you know, that mission and passion drives us. And I think that that becomes almost unstoppable power when we're clear about why. I think when we're wishy-washy or we haven't even stopped to ask ourselves that question is when we're driven by a to-do list and not by a greater mission.
I know that you're working on a book about entrepreneurship. I'd love if maybe you could touch upon a little bit of that, but I want to ask a question specifically in regard to entrepreneurship. You often hear, as an aspiring entrepreneur, people will say things, oh, well, you just start, just get started, or just take action. But if someone doesn't know what that action is, that advice really isn't very helpful, right? So what is one tangible piece of advice that you would give someone who wants to get started but doesn't quite know where or how?
That's where we get so, I mean, when I work with entrepreneurs and that is so, that becomes the block, right? Is I don't know where to start. And I get that, right? I mean, I've had that. We all have that. But I think where we have to remember is that momentum feeds on itself. So if starting just means, you know, you have an idea, if starting just means you start to read some books around the topic or the whatever. I mean, if it's jewelry making, you start to go to jewelry making classes. If you, you know, want to start your life coaching business, you go to life coaching school. You start to surround yourself with people or experiences that are in that vocation of what you're trying to create. And the more you surround yourselves around that, the more you are, your mind attunes to it, the energy around you attracts it, the more you start to connect with what it is that you're trying to create. And I highly encourage anybody who's trying to bring something to life to make sure you spend time there. When I was starting Beaming, you know, I mentioned that Chris Carr and I saw her speak and I read her book. I didn't know where this was going to go. But what I knew is that there was something happening and there was something I needed to explore further. And so I kept reading and I kept reading more and more and more. And I took a lot of notes and then I'd go to classes and I'd listen to podcasts. And then I started to fly all over the country and look at, you know, go to juice bars and go to raw food cafes and eat as much juice and smoothies and what have you that I could. And I would take notes and I would take pictures and think, okay, what do I like and what do I not like? And I just went through a discovery process that helped me get clarity of what it is that I wanted to create. And I think that it's really important as opposed to just saying, I want to go do this. And then all of a sudden it's like you are supposed to figure out the how. I think you go immerse yourself in that world first, because then you get the clarity of the why and you get the clarity of how would you do it. The other piece of that is that I think it's really important for entrepreneurs is to not get stuck on how, because there is no certainty and the how is the fun part. And absolutely. You know where you're trying to go, but how you're going to get there, even if you think you have a plan, I can guarantee you 100% it's going to change.
Right. It's going to change drastically.
You know, and, you know, people always would say to me in the beginning of Beaming, well, you know, do you have a nutrition degree? And have you, you know, well, what have you ever worked in a restaurant or do you have an MBA? Do you have this? And I'm like, no, no, no.
But that's probably why you're effective, though, because you don't have to follow those rules, right?
Well, totally. And it goes back to what you said before about not conforming, right?
Yeah.
But it was scary for me. I didn't have any of the quote things that people thought I would have. I've never worked in a restaurant in my life. But I did surround myself with people who knew how to do it and had lived in restaurants or lived in the food business. And so, you know, I knew what I did really well. And I surround myself with people that knew that world very, you know, much better than I could ever know. But I think that, you know, going back to, we get stuck on how, and I think how's the fun part. I mean, that's where the magic happens, when you just really kind of have a vision of where you're trying to go, but you allow the how to present itself along the way. And I hope it doesn't sound too woo woo, but,
no, not at all. In fact, I love, there's two takeaways. Enjoy the how is I think profound, but find clarity, because I think that if you're lacking that clarity, to your point, you're going to be bogged down with the questions and the I can't and all of those things. So find that clarity. That's really powerful.
Well, and you know, I want to add to that too, because, you know, I think there's so much freedom that happens when we know that every single person is scared. Yes. You're not unique. You're not the only one that doesn't think that they're not enough. They're not smart enough. They're not good enough. The idea's already been done. I mean, we all have those voices. I've had those voices. I still have those voices. As I write this book, I mean, I've got all that little chatter that goes, Lisa, are you sure you're smart enough to do this? Are you sure that your message is unique enough? I mean, I'm having those, and I have to laugh at myself and observe those thoughts that are coming. And then, you know, kind of, I can either like really attach to them and make myself crippled by it and not actually, you know, take forward motion, or I can just laugh at it and say, well, what if I am? Yeah. And, you know, I think that when we all realize that you do not have a unique fear that other person doesn't have, then we can kind of find a sense of humor in it, and we can not take ourselves so seriously and not be crippled by it.
Oh, that's so true. And that's so good, because I cannot tell you how many times a day I have that conversation with myself. I mean, it's not only applicable to entrepreneurship, right? It's applicable to life. Right. Everyone has fears. Everyone is scared. Everyone thinks they're not good enough, you know, but you got to keep pressing forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm going to throw another one out there. If you haven't read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, she nails this conversation, because it's so good. I mean, Elizabeth Gilbert, for those of you remember, her original book was Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
But now her new book, she's done a couple since, but Big Magic is phenomenal. And it is a lot about really finding humor in our self-doubts and our fears and our self-defeating thoughts. And it's when you start to really become aware of those thoughts, and then you decide, well, what if I can? I mean, yeah, sure, all those things could happen, but what if I can? And what would life look like if I could? And that's a much more fun conversation.
Yeah, for sure. I'm adding that to my list today. Actually, Eat, Pray, Love is one of my favorite books of all time.
Totally.
The movie.
Totally, you've read that.
What is the most challenging experience you've had in your life so far? And what did you create from that experience?
I'm going to get personal on this one. I think the most challenging for me was going through divorce. And, you know, really my husband and I were married for about 14 years. We had 3 children, and we had a tremendous, you know, kind of love and respect for each other, but we didn't have that passion, you know, emotionally and physically, that was strong enough to stand the test of time. We didn't have that foundation, but we kept trying to make it work for 14 years. And we never fought, but we didn't really have passion to fight. So we just kind of went through the motions, and many times we were both dead walking. And I think for me, the hardest thing was to finally accept that was not the way either one of us wanted to continue to live, that we really wanted to live present and alive, and when we realized that we couldn't create it together, you know, it's a very sad moment in a marriage, in a relationship, when you realize you've gone as far as you can. And I'll never forget working with one of my kind of spiritual teachers or coaches, and she said, "Your spiritual contract is over, and there's no more counseling, there's no more anything that you can do to quote fix it." She's like, you have done what you've come to do, and now it's time to let go and just trust. And there was so much freedom in that statement, and there was so much fear, because, you know, I had a family, I got the kids, I have financial responsibilities. And yet I also knew she was right. And my husband and I, you know, I remember sitting on the bed with him and both crying and just saying, we've gone as far as we can go. And as much as we love each other, there's something else out there for us that we need to go explore, and we're not growing together anymore. And I said to him, I said, there's a woman out there that's going to help you become the man that I know that you are, as there is a man for me. And we literally held each other and, you know, and then just knew that we were done. And I remember going on a run right after that, and I had this, I was like euphoric, not because I was breaking up my family. I was euphoric because I knew I was free. I knew that I could wake up to life again. And I was running, and I thought, I no longer have to be lonely in my marriage. I can be lonely because I'm lonely, but not because I'm lonely in my marriage. And there was just incredible freedom that came with that. And as scary as it was, and as much as I don't wish divorce on anyone, and I cried and cried and cried and cried a lot for a long time after that, I knew in my heart that we had to, and he did too. And I think that, you know, that is so metaphorical to life, is that sometimes we have to make those choices that really hurt. But trusting that on the other side, you know, in your heart, and your intuition knows, and your gut knows what's right for you. And to just believe and trust that there's something, that there's a gift on the other side.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for sharing that story and being vulnerable and sharing that story. I hope to God that you are talking about this in your book, because I personally got the chills when you told that story just now. And I think that will impact so many people that are stuck in, whether it's marriages or any other sort of relationship that you feel stuck in, because I think that's so many people. I've been there. I'm sure most people listening have been there.
But, thank you.
Yeah, but the conversation just that you said that you had about, you know what, I know that there is someone better for you out there that is going to help you grow in ways that I'm unable to. That's just, it's so powerful. And I hope people take that away from your story.
Thanks for creating a space to share it.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Lisa Nichols at all?
I know the name. Tell me what she's done.
Motivational speaker. She was in The Secret. The reason I bring her up, I'm going to insist that you go back and listen. I interviewed her a few weeks ago. She talks a little bit about kind of what you were saying. She's incredibly motivating as a human being, but she talks about the different kinds of relationships that come into our lives, life-giving, purposeful, and how if we're unable to recognize those relationships, we're going to stay stuck. Like, you can marry someone, be with them for 20 years, but the relationship fulfilled the purpose within the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And because we don't, you know, have an awareness around that, we stay in relationships. And it's not just romantic relationships, right? It's friendships. It's all kinds of things.
It's our businesses. I mean, we stay in a business. We stay and do things that we know we don't want to do, or it's, you know, we're on a path and it's just we feel like, well, you know, I started this path, so I have to continue it. No, you don't have to do anything. Absolutely. You have to show up for yourself. That's what you have to do.
Tell me, what is your definition of success, and have you achieved it?
My definition of success is, I hope it's a ongoing pursuit. And when I say pursuit, for me, success is really being comfortable with me and really being comfortable with just having more joy, being more present, being more available for those that I care about, being more available for those that I serve, being really more authentic. And to me, as I continue to grow and evolve as a person, I feel more successful, you know, for myself. My relationships are, quote, more successful. My relationship with my children or my friends or a partner, and certainly in business, you know, it translates to all of it, because the more I have that sense of peace within me, the more I'm able to really, really give myself to a business and do it authentically. So for me, it's a constant, it's my constant commitment to my own personal growth.
What do you hope will be your legacy?
I have this saying, it's on our shirts at Beaming, and it says, the world is brighter when you're beaming. And I really hope that I can help bring more light and in the world, and to help more people beam. And that is really what I hope my legacy is that I've helped people find that happiness within themselves through health and through their own personal growth to make a difference in the world.
Lisa, tell us how we can connect with you on the web.
Okay. Now you're going to laugh at me, because everyone says, Lisa, how do you not have an Instagram? How do you not have your own website? And so my answer is because I've been consumed by Beaming and my children, but that is coming. So the best way to communicate with me directly is if you feel inspired or you want to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you. And I'm going to do something I never do, but I'm going to share my own personal email if you want to reach out and share any thoughts. It's Lisa@livebeaming.com. livebeaming.com. And I'd love to hear from you if anything here resonated for you, or if it didn't and you want to kind of share your thoughts on that. And yes, I will have an Instagram, and yes, I'll have a personal website in the near future. And of course, if you know that you're going to be stopping by Beaming someday, and I have 6 locations, 3 in San Diego and 3 in LA, and I'm always bebopping around one of them, and I'd love to meet you.
Awesome. And then Live Beaming is your website for the business, right?
Livebeaming.com. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I am such a fan of everything you've accomplished, and you should be really proud of everything that you're out there doing in the world.
Thank you so much, Sean, and right back at you for helping bring these messages to share with others.
All right. I want to thank Lisa for joining me today. And of course, I want to thank you for listening. If you've had any revelations today, I encourage you to join the conversation over on our Facebook page or in our all new Facebook group. If you're enjoying the show, I'd love if you'd head over to iTunes and click the subscribe button. And while you're there, if you could take a moment to leave a quick review, I would really appreciate it. Now you can find the links for everything we talked about in the show notes, which can be found over at thinkoutsidethelines.com/podcast. Until next time, go out there and pursue your passion today, because the best way to predict the future is to create it. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.